Somebody say praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. A little bit of technical difficulty there, I think. So we're going to move on and get into the message this morning. But wasn't it good to be in the presence of the Lord? And I heard Kelly singing to that song, or singing and practicing. And I always know what the choir is singing that morning, because that's usually what she listens to when she gets ready on Sunday morning. I heard, "Can't Even Walk Without You Holding My Hand." I thought, who's going to sing that? And she said, Jeffrey. I said, uh-oh. So, man, good to hear those old songs sometimes and stir that up on the inside of you. And we appreciate you coming out and being with us this morning, really do. And we want to talk to you a little bit about the Prince of Peace carrying a sword. And I put out a little Facebook advertisement about this, because it almost seems like it's a conflict in Scripture, and some of you that's been in our How to Study the Bible group on Wednesday nights will sort of get what I'm talking about here. A lot of times the writers of the Bible, and during that time period, especially that the Jewish customs and things as they were, they didn't have any issues whatsoever with sort of displaying or presenting two facts that seem contradictory and just leaving you there to figure it out. Like, we have to try to figure that out in our Western culture, but in Eastern culture, it was what it was, and they laid it there, and they left it there. And this is one of those, I think, that sometimes may be hard to grasp, is when we talk about the Prince of Peace, right? But he also talks about bringing a sword and says, I didn't come to bring peace. And so how's the reconciliation there, right? So if you want to stand for the reading of God's word, we're going to look at that. And as you're getting there in Matthew chapter 10, verse 34 through 39, we're going to be looking at the ESV version there. I want to sort of call to your mind here the sort of the Sunday school image, I guess, that we have of Jesus, and meek and mild and always making peace. And it seems like he's always helping somebody out, healing somebody, maybe restoring a marriage like he did for his first miracle. And so many times you see him preaching love, even love your neighbor, right, as yourself. How many knows that's not easy to do, right? So Jesus comes, and we see this picture of him in our Sunday school picture, if you will, of Jesus. And yet we find in Matthew chapter 10, starting verse 34, he says this: Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have to come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a person's enemies will be those of his own household. A little bit of a tension thing there, right? He's introducing this tension into this. He says, whosoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. You can be seated if you wish. And so we see this idea, this confrontation, if you will, this tension that Jesus introduces here, when actually he almost quotes Micah chapter 7 verse 6, where God is pulling out some of the things that he sees going on that he's not really happy about during the time when he says the son dishonors the father, and the daughter is rising up against her mother, the daughter-in-law against the mother-in-law. He's sort of talking about that passage of scripture there in Micah chapter 7, where God is sort of saying, I don't like these things, and yet here's Jesus coming and introducing himself as one who doesn't just come to sort of warm and fuzzy, put everybody back together. We often see Jesus as that one who puts families together, and certainly he does that when the occasion calls for that. But here we see Jesus presenting himself as the one who divides. But I want you to understand that Jesus isn't dividing just for conflict's sake here, okay? And I want you to understand the magnitude of this as well, this commandment that he's given. And you know me, I sort of get into the Jewish custom of it a lot of times when we see, especially in the Gospels and things, because Jesus is talking to the Jewish individuals there. I want you to understand that in It was Jewish custom that there was a concept in the ancient world that the father was the absolute authority of the household. And so when you chose a different lord, if you will, someone to follow, it was sort of considered like social suicide, if you will. It was almost like a betrayal of the fourth commandment, which was honor thy father and thy mother. Early Jewish converts experienced this a lot whenever they would leave their faith and would follow Jesus. They lost everything. They were cut off from their family. They were cut off from their inheritance. They were sort of called an outcast, if you will. And so the sword was literal as well as metaphorical here, in that when Jesus came and said, I'm going to divide, he meant that, and we see that in the early conversions of the Jewish people who came and got saved and were born again through the blood of Jesus Christ. And listen, when they done that, they essentially left one family, but I'm so thankful that God allowed them to be a part of another family. I think of when Jesus told Nicodemus, unless you're born again, you can't be a part of the kingdom of God, right? And he said, whoa, how can a man be born again? Am I going to enter into my mother's womb? And Jesus was trying to explain to Nicodemus, if you're going to follow me, it's not just about a set of rules and regulations and all these other things. You actually transplant whose family you have into the family of God. Now, we hope that that family comes with you, but Jesus says this, there may come a time where in that household a division has to take place. And we, not long ago, we talked about true north for us as believers. Y'all remember that, how a lot of times the world's got other things that pull us this way and that way. So in essence here, what I want you to understand is sometimes you have to follow your true north while the whole other caravan may be going south. Jesus says there's a time where there's a division that's going to take place, and you've got to make up in your mind, are you going to follow the crowd? Are you going to follow even your family? Or are you going to follow me? That's tough. That's difficult, but yet that's what Jesus says here. There's a definite divide. And you can see all through the scripture, and we'll sort of hit on some of these as we go this morning, but there's a division that takes place a lot of times before God does something great. How many of you remember, and we may mention this again, when God called Abram before he was Abraham out, what did he tell him to do? Get out of your country. Leave your family. Go to a land that I'm going to show you. That was a great command. That was like a really hard thing to do back then because there was safety in numbers. There was no law enforcement. There was no welfare system. There was no government assistance. It was your family was everything that you had, and you totally depended upon them. And God says this, if you're going to get where I'm going to take you, you've got to forsake all of that and let me be your source. We see that division throughout the scripture, and it's tough. It's hard sometimes, but I want you to understand that Christ doesn't come just to divide for conflict's sake, but he comes to divide. We're going to look at this in context of Genesis chapter 1, believe it or not, and the beginning of the creations of the earth. He comes and through these divisions, he creates boundaries and distinctions that's important for you and I. In Genesis chapter 1, starting verse 1, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, right? He creates light and he sees it's good, but he doesn't stop there. The Bible says God separated the light from the darkness. What did God do? He divided the light from the darkness. So many times we see God as this one who creates by adding to. But I'm going to tell you something. Sometimes he doesn't create by adding material. He actually creates by dividing you from that material that maybe you're not needed. And so he creates here by defining boundaries, as we're going to see through Scripture. The first thing God made was light. And after that, he divided that light. And so the first step toward it is good, for him to say it is good, was to divide. There could be no fellowship between light and darkness in order for God to say, it is good. Are y'all with me? So it's not just enough for us to be light in the middle of darkness. It wasn't just enough for light and darkness to coincide together. God didn't say he saw that it was good, but he didn't say it is good until he divided that light from the darkness. There's got to be a distinction there between the light and the darkness. Victor Hamilton said this, and I love this. The darkness was not an independent power, but a condition awaiting the arrival of light. God's first act of goodness is to distinguish between what reflects his nature and what does not. You see, the darkness was there. It was evident, but it did not reflect the nature of God. When God created that light and spoke it into existence, he had to separate it so that that light would reflect who he was. What he's saying is this: I am light. This world is dark. I come into that darkness and I give it light, but I cannot be part of that darkness. My light has to be separate from that darkness so that people understand there's a boundary, there's a distinction. You can't mix light and dark. How many of you know that we're living in a day where we try to mix light and dark, good and evil? All those lines getting blurred, and Jesus says, no, I'm coming with a sword. I'm going to cut it right down the middle, and you're either here or you're there. There's no middle ground. There's no fence. There's no, as the songs go nowadays, we've talked about this 100 times. There's no partying on Saturday and going to church on Sunday. There's a distinction. There's a boundary. There's a dividing line that's there. And we see that in God reflecting his nature through creating light and separating it from the darkness. And on the second day, God divides the water, the waters from the waters. He creates a space, an expanse. And we're going to make this applicable to you in just a minute. Just hang with me. God said, let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters. Let it separate the waters from the waters. And God made the expanse and separated the waters that were under the expanse from the waters that were above the expanse. And it was so. Notice there that in that second day, we don't see God said it is good. You won't see that until the next day when he actually sees the land form. Jewish scholars point that out, that although he created this, he didn't see it as good until the work was finished. Without this division, without there being a separation of the waters, life was impossible. God creates this separation so life can bloom and grow. Are y'all with me? You see the progression there. How God sees this earth that's without form and darkness. It's filled with darkness and void and nothing there. And God says, this ain't good. We need to create light. But then we got to separate the light from the darkness. And then we got to make some room between all these waters, because the only thing going to grow in water is algae and fish. And so he makes this expanse between the two so that the earth can be fruitful and bring forth herbs and spices and all those other things that man that he's getting ready to create is going to need. You see, Jesus, when he says, I come to bring a sword, he isn't just bringing conflict. He's bringing a change in you. And he's saying this, and I'm getting ahead of myself here. I'm afraid I'm losing you before I get to the applicable part here. So I'm gonna try to get you to hang with me. And if you hear me repeat this, you got to give me some leeway here, right? But what he's saying is, I'm cutting away some of this so I can get you to grow. That, listen, you may be hanging around some people that you'll never grow with. Y'all remember Abraham and Isaac? God said, go make me a sacrifice. And him and Isaac walked around for 3 days until God showed him where to go, right? Abraham and Isaac come to the foot of the mountain, and Abraham tells his servants, stay here. Me and the lad are going to worship, and we'll come again to you. it was Abraham dividing himself and Isaac and saying, listen, boy, y'all have went as far as you can go. I need you to stay here because what's going to happen up here is something that's going to be wonderful. I believe he was speaking by faith when he said, we're going to come again to you. He didn't understand how. I think he thought he was going to resurrect him after he sacrificed him. But the point was this. Abraham said, you all stay here because what's getting ready to happen up here is between me, my son, and my God. There's times in our lives where we got to learn, and here we go again, getting ahead of ourselves. We got to shut out all the noise from everybody else and realize this thing is about you and your home and your relationship with God. Give him a hand clap of praise. He divided the waters from the waters so that material could grow, so that soil could come forth and produce fruit. That expanse served as a petition, if you will. The Jewish thought was this, that God established hierarchies and boundaries in this physical world to reflect spiritual truths. When you look up at the sky and you see as far as you can see and you don't see the heavens, there's this idea that the Jewish guys had that said this, God done this, he created this expanse so large that it looks like God's so far above us, and it just sort of punctuates the miracle that is Jesus coming, taking on flesh and dwelling among us and then living on the inside of us and God coming down to us. We can't even see where God is, and yet God chose to step down in flesh, come and dwell among us. It was that expanse between us. God goes on and he says, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together into one place and let the dry land appear. And it was so, and God called the dry land earth, and the waters that were gathered together he called seas, and God saw that it was good. See, by pushing the sea back, God created the earth where seed could grow. I believe God's sovereignty here is seen in his boundaries. If you've ever been to the ocean and you wonder, why in the world don't that ocean come any farther? You can go so far out and it gets so deep. And you wonder, what creates a boundary there? Have you ever, I forget where we was, in one of those, we've been to Mexico and all those other countries. I get them all confused, but we were somewhere where two seas come together. And one was just as nasty and as filthy as could be, Bernard. You could look out and see a line, like somebody took a crayon and drew a line, and you could see where one ocean stopped and the other one started. Completely nasty, and one that you could see through the bottom. And I thought, my God, do we not have a creator that is awesome, that he looks down and goes, I'm dividing this right here. And when we look at it, we can see filth on one side and we can see clarity on one side. The works proclaim his goodness and his mercy. And when we look at that, we know that there is a division there, that he says this, one side is unto death, one side is unto life. One side is murky and you'll never understand this life. And one side is you have clarity and a purpose and know exactly what God is doing. That's the kind of God that we serve. And it's in those things that he creates those boundaries. Can I tell you something? We're living in a time here, and again, I'm getting ahead of myself. But we're living in a time where people see boundaries as a bad thing. I'm going to tell you something, boundaries, they're a good thing. You ever been over the mountain and look over and look this way and just thank God that somebody had enough sense to come up with the idea of a guardrail? You know what I'm talking about? Like you go, man, I'm glad there's a guardrail. There's just something about that guardrail. If you've ever been through a part of that road on a mountain where there's no guardrail, that's the first thing that hits your mind. Man, there's no guardrail here. But when you're driving and you see that guardrail, there's something comforting about that guardrail because it says this, if you go too far, there may be some damage, but you're not going to go so far that you're going to go off the edge. I am thankful that in God's word, in his plan, he has boundaries that says, I may let you go this far, but I'm thankful that I'm like that old dumb sheep that's led by the shepherd, and when I wander off too far, he takes that staff and he pulls me back on the path of righteousness for his name's sake. I am so glad that he's got boundaries that he created that divides us from the world. Jesus said, I've come to create this boundary. Don't think I've come to put everybody together. Listen, unity is great in a lot of ways, man. We preach it here a lot concerning the church, concerning our nation. All those things are great, but some of the things that we try to unite, God says, no, there's got to be a division there. You can't have light and darkness shaking hands. You can't have this world and the church shaking hands. Are y'all with me? Jesus said, I've come to bring this divide, this sword that's going to cut you all away. There's going to be boundaries there. God didn't divide the land from the water. The earth would remain a graveyard of chaos rather than a garden of life, Matthew Henry said. So that boundary provided a space for fruit to be yielded from the trees. Can I tell you something? Jesus taught that when he said, if you'll abide in me, I'll abide in you. Remember, he made a distinction there. Man, if there was ever a place where he pulled out the sword and he divided something, it was here. He said, if you're a branch and you don't bring forth fruit, you're cut off, you're thrown in the fire to be burned. But he said, if you abide in me, I'll abide in you and you'll bring forth that fruit. What is that? That's Jesus pulling out the sword and dividing one from the other. How do we know that we have passed from death unto life? Is that we have love for the brethren. Listen, there's so many things that we experience here in a spiritual awakening and a spiritual service, but don't get caught up in that so much that we forget that if you are abiding in him, the fact of the matter is you'll have that fruit of the Spirit that others can see, that they know that you are born again and a believer in Jesus Christ. But if those lines get blurred, if there's no boundaries, things get chaotic and confused. We're living in that world right now, and I don't want to, y'all know me, I can go off on that for hours. I don't want to go off on that this morning too much. Bible says on the seventh day, he rested. The ultimate division, the holy from the common. It was God's way of saying, today is a day of rest. Today is a day to stay holy, to rest, and to keep it separate from the other 6 days of the week. Dividing the holy from the common is the end goal of Jesus, the Prince of Peace, bringing his sword that divides. Is he saying this? You can't shake hands with the world and hold my hand at the same time. Deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me. Listen, I know we're living in an age where you don't hear preaching like that, when people don't like to hear that you got to leave one to have the other. But I'm going to tell you, you can't have a Savior without a Master. You can't have a Redeemer without a Lord. Are y'all with me? If you get one, you automatically get the other, and you have to divide yourself, come out from among them, and be holy as I am holy. And God says you can't have fellowship with darkness. And so when he divides the light from the dark, we're going to get applicable here to us, all right? I believe that's him dividing priorities there. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8 through 11 says, for at one time you were in darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good, right, and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. Many Jewish scholars, and I want to point this out, believe by, that by naming the light day and the darkness night, God is establishing categories here of reality. In other words, God is saying one is one and one is the other. There is night and there is day. There's a distinction. And as believers, we apply this concept by refusing to let the world blur the lines that God has drawn. With morality, marriage, and all these other things that's trying to cripple under the pressure of some kind of change that says we need to move on. We need to get it with the concept. We need to get into this new age way of thinking. I tell my kids all the time, they'll say something there that reminds me of something like that. You can just see it creeping in everywhere. It doesn't matter. You know. Let me use my puppy here. Y'all know I like to use my puppy as an example. Until that joker gets grown, he's probably going to be preaching on it. A lot. My kids are grown, gone, right? So we got a puppy I'm preaching on now. That puppy, we're trying a new approach with him. Now, the whole time, now listen, don't go leave out here thinking I beat dogs. But now, if a dog done something wrong, you correct it. You take a fly swat or whatever, and you correct it. In other words, there's got to be a consequence for the action there, right? Now, if you try to figure out how to correct the dog, Jeremiah, they'll tell you, don't do that. Don't even raise your voice. Just act like he didn't do it. Man, I'm trying, Bernard, but I can't grab that concept. Right? Like, how do you not raise your voice? How do you not say something to correct something? Because if you act like nothing's wrong, how do they know if anything is wrong? I just feel like it's the new age of thinking of everything, right? Just go with the flow. Don't raise your voice. Don't rock the boat. Are y'all with me? It's just all get along and don't worry about what religion you are and all these other things. I think it's the way of the world that's divide. It's trying to do away with that divide that God said one is good and one is bad. One is the way to life and one is the way to death, as we talked about last week. And the world is trying to blur that line, trying to make us believe that we can straddle that line and still be all right. But I believe that God divided the light from the dark, and he made a distinction that said, you got to come out. You've got to walk as children of light. Put on the armor of God. Put on that clothing of light so that others will see you in a dark, dark world and know that there is a God somewhere, and the world is not dark completely, but that God has a remnant. God has a body of believers that still know how to reflect his light. Bible says, John said, I'm not the light. Right, Patrick? I just came to bear witness of the light. You know what that is? That's a reflection of the light. You know how you reflect light? You get in direct line with it. And when you get in direct line with God and his light reflects off of you, they'll take note of that and go, man, they're different. But if that line becomes blurred, that line becomes undistinguishable, if there's no boundaries there, we got what we got in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, chaos. That form, void, empty. Then the Bible says that he divided the heavenly from the earthly, right? The firmament, the firmament between the waters there. I think we can... And I thought about our group on Wednesday. I'm going to try to take this Wednesday and look at the Old Testament with New Testament eyes and sort of come up with as many examples as I can to understand the Old Testament in light of the New Testament. I told them I was going to do the best I can. A lot of that stuff is spirit-led and just spirit-born. You're reading and the spirit sort of jumps out at you and says, there it is. I'm going to try to do the best I can to get as many examples. And I thought, man, here's a great example. You can see this from creation here when God says there's got to be a difference between the heaven and the earth. Can y'all guess what the New Testament application of that is? There's got to be a difference between there and here. There's got to be a difference between someone whose citizenship is in heaven and whose citizenship is not. Colossians chapter 3, 1 and 2. If then you've been raised with Christ, seek those things that are above. Remember the expanse? Seek those things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things on the earth. You see why God divided things? And God says this, I want your mind to be there. I'm so glad that the Bible says we're made to, listen, Ephesians says we're made to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I believe that means right now. I don't believe that means later on. I believe that means we can get together with him in heavenly places right now. And when we do, our mindset changes. When we do, our attitude changes. When we do, how we see this world changes. And that is what sets us apart between here and there. Are y'all with me? Ooh. I didn't think this one was going to be easy. That's all right. That's another myth in life. Can I take a rabbit hole and get on a soapbox here just to say, that's another myth in life, is easy is always best. Easy ain't always best. Been a lot easier for Jesus to just say, come with me, I'll repair everything in your household, right? Ain't that the preaching that you hear nowadays? A lot of times everything's going to be all right. Everything's going to be fine. God's going to bless you going in, coming out, all these other things, all this stuff. I'm going to tell you something. Christ never promised that. He said this, you're going to be divided. You're going to have to choose. As Joshua said, I believe it's Joshua, wasn't it? Said, choose this day in whom you'll serve. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. There was a line that was drawn in the sand that said, you got to choose one or the other. That's what Jesus is saying here. You can't have fellowship on one side if you want to be on the other side. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 said, do not be mismatched with unbelievers, for what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? What accord has Christ with Baal? Or what portion does a believer share with an unbeliever? He's saying this, you gotta watch who you run with. And I'm a good one to talk. I know Pearl's probably thought, first thing when I said that. Pearl gets on to me all the time because I got atheist friends, you know. She asked me one time, she said, how many atheists do you know? I said, that's who I try to get up close to. It's that kind of non-believer. That's the kind I like to talk to. It's kind of like to go back and forth with. But there's a difference in befriending them and being a friend to them. Are y'all with me? It's not about being influenced by them. It's about using your influence. And listen, maybe somebody's not there. Listen, if you're not there, you're not there. But I'm going to tell you something. I could walk in a room full of them and I listen to them all day long. And you know what I'm going to believe when I walk out? That God is real. That he sent his son Jesus as my Savior. Y'all with me? They're not going to change me. They come too late. I've got an experience that says God is real. But you got to be careful who you run around with, who you hang with. I remember one time a young man over at Dingus, where I used to pastor, we used to do this fellowship thing there. We started over there where we'd go to different churches and preach and just sort of like we do here. And a young man got saved, and I was just curious. I wanted to hang around and listen to what some of them was telling him. There was an old guy that came up to the altar and hugged his neck. And I wanted to hear what that experienced old wise Christian had for this young man. You know what he said? Son, read your Bible. Pray. Go to church. And find you some new friends. I said, uh-oh, we done got real now. That's the division that Jesus is talking about. You run with dogs, you're going to get fleas eventually. You got to be careful who you run with. That's why God told Abram, get out of there. He told him, get out of there, and you know what Abram did? He done everything he's supposed to, but he took one with him, Lot. Y'all remember that? Man, the trouble that boy caused. Right? Went towards Sodom and Gomorrah and got held, took captive, and Abraham had to go and get him and rescue him and all that. But the Bible says there was a time where get this, God says, don't bring anybody. And Abram brings one person, and guess what happens? Division. Strife. People want to know about the God of the Old Testament. Why did he have them go in and kill everybody? Listen to me. It was an example. It was a type. I ain't telling you it was all warm and fuzzy feelings and all that. If you want to, I don't need to defend God. If you want to ask him about it, you ask him about it. But I know this. God knew that if they left anybody in there, they were going to taint God's people, and that they would have influence over them. That's the reason he told the kings, don't take women from the other country, because those women are going to turn your head and you're going to go down a path that I haven't chose for you. God is saying this. If you leave those influences in your life, they're going to gain a hold. And so there's got to be a divide there. There's got to be a new set of fellowship, if you will. Somebody said we become like those we admire. If you don't divide your friendships from your influences, the world will eventually divide you from God. Psalms chapter 1 verse 1 says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked. You know what that means? Don't get counsel from the wicked. You want to know what that means in the Hebrew? Don't ask people that don't serve the Lord for advice. I mean, it's practical. We just don't talk about it anymore. But you need good, godly advice. And I'm going to tell you something. AI is great in a lot of ways, and Google's great in a lot of ways, but it ain't always going to give you good, godly advice. Are y'all with me? Oh, Lord. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scoffers. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. That word blessed, that threw me for a while when I first got saved. I thought, man, blessed to me means happy, joyful, all these other things. And I'm thinking, man, sometimes I don't always feel so jolly, so joyful. God requires some hard things sometimes. So I got to digging into that word. You know what that word really means in the Hebrew? Going forward. And then it clicked. It makes so much sense to me. Going forward is the man who doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Let me do it this way. Can y'all see me? Am I large enough for y'all to see me? But maybe if I stand this way, they can see me. Probably if I stand this way, I disappear. But I was hoping somebody would laugh there as a joke. So blessed, going forward, is the man who doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Now, walking in the counsel of the ungodly, to me, is not going forward. It's going, are y'all with me? So there's a distinction there. It says, don't follow that ungodly counsel, because what happens is, before you know it, you ain't going anywhere. Now, not only are you listening to the counsel of the ungodly, you're standing in the way of the sinner. It's all about direction here. You're not going forward, you're going backwards, and eventually you go backwards so far, you just start standing there, and now you're not only listening to the counsel of the ungodly, you're with the sinner standing there. And if you stand there long enough, before long you'll get so comfortable, you'll sit down. I ain't sitting down because I can't get back up. But you'll sit down in the seat of the scoffer. There's a progression there. And God says it can't be. You've got to divide that. You've got to cut those kind of people off. That's why Jesus said, I've come to divide all that. Hey, your family may be great in a lot of ways, but when it comes to the Lord, they may give you bad advice. He said, I've got to divide all that, and you're either going to follow me or you're going to follow others around you. Let me move on here real fast. So what do we do with this? Jesus says, I come and took this sword so that I can divide. If you've been born again, thank God he's divided you from that. Now what can we do? I think we can create our own expanse. You know how we create an expanse and a buffer between us and the world? Number one is the use of Scripture. Y'all with me? A lot of people call it an echo chamber. Y'all ever heard those terms? I love my echo chamber. My echo chamber is this, me and the Scripture and my study time. It's when I ain't hearing about other things. Now listen, I'm open to hearing other arguments about, you know, the atheist and all these other things and inviting all these other things at some point. But there's times I like to get in my echo chamber and all I hear is the Scripture and what the Scripture's saying and what God is saying to me. Listen, a lot of times we can't find ourselves in enough division between us and the world because we don't take time to get in an echo chamber somewhere where we get into the Scripture and we hear God's voice. Y'all quiet for some reason. It's all right. Can't sow seed in a windstorm. I believe the expanse of a community is there. Surround yourself by people who are pulling you toward the light and not the other way. Separate yourself with Scripture. Get in your echo chamber, then surround yourself by those people who are walking in the light. Then the last one that I think is maybe most important is the expanse or the buffer of being still and knowing that he's God. I'll give you a practical application here. Sometimes we confound what God is doing because we don't take time when we get bad news, when we hear something. We don't take time to be still and know that he's God. Are y'all with me? Now don't, Lord, don't get mad at me here. I don't know if I should say this or not. And I'm not kidding. Whew. Tragedy happens. Listen, calling for prayer and all that. Yes, absolutely. 110%. But if you're in the middle of a crisis and a tragedy and you stop to take time to make a picture and put text on it and put it through a filter and, you know, you make your own elaborate pray for me post. Listen, don't get mad at me. Should you call for prayer? Absolutely. But I'm talking about somebody who's so quick to run to Facebook and make sure that everybody knows what they're going through. If you get mad, get mad. I don't care. So quick to post those things and try to get empathy and people on your side and messaging you. I love the ones going through something, don't message. All right. What do you want me to do, right? But if we're so quick to do that, that tells me this. We don't stop and take time before we post because I'm sure that if you were still enough and let God be God in your life, you wouldn't feel the need to do that. You would post in a more positive way and say this, I may be going through this, but I've talked to God about it and thank God he's going to get me through it just like he got me through that last week. I know that ain't easy, but that's the expanse that we got to build. Scripture, who we surround ourselves with, and taking time to know that he's God. Divide that holy from the common. Romans 12:2 says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, right? So that you can test and try, discern what the will of God is, what it's good and acceptable and perfect. I need you to understand that this just isn't about self-improvement, but the Holy Spirit is coming to create an expanse between you and the world. I would say this in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Stand with me to your feet if you would. I think we've all got uncomfortable enough this morning. The Bible says, for the word of God is living and active. sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of the soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. I'm made to believe when the Prince of Peace carries a sword, that's the sword he's talking about. Above all, everything that we talked about this morning, let me tell you something, the Word calls for us to be divided from the world, from the mindset of carnality. And I would challenge you to do this. Close your eyes just a second. I'm going to try to do something here. Try to get you on board with what I'm talking about. Think about a scripture. Think about you must be born again. If you're here this morning, you ain't been saved, never been saved, I want you to think about you must be born again to see the kingdom of heaven, see the kingdom of God. If you're here this morning, backslide, out of fellowship with God, whatever you want to call it, think about that prodigal son that was eating with the hogs, right? Sort of illustrates the character of God. It says if you'll make one step back in the right direction, he'll come and meet you right where you're at. We read the Bible, but do we allow the Bible to read us? When you think about those scriptures, where do you find yourself? On what side of the fence do you find yourself? Do you find yourself born again in the family of God, divided from the world? Do you find yourself as the prodigal that has returned and now has a testimony in a robe of righteousness and a ring around your finger, sandals on your feet? That's the love of God. That's the love of a father. I know we don't talk about the sandals on the feet a whole lot, but you know what I've always thought? Man, if he was used to running, that's the last thing I would have given him was another pair of sandals. And yet the father said, I love you so much that if you want to walk away again, you go right ahead. That's the kind of God that we serve. That's why the Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste, try it. Where do you find yourself there? Bible says we should have peace that passes all understanding. Even when we don't understand it, we have that peace. What side of the fence do you find yourself on when you read that scripture? Let the scripture read you. Are you still at turmoil in your life? You still anxious all the time? That, my friends, is Christ trying to divide us from the way the world reacts to things to the way the church should react to things. And we say he's in control. We don't always know what his will is, but we know this, his will is perfect for my life, and I submit to that will. It may not always be easy, but if it's his will, it's good enough for me. I wonder if you're here this morning and you've done went through that division and that sword has cut that divide, separated you from the darkness, and you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you're in the light. I wonder if you'd raise hands and worship him for that. If it wasn't for him, you wouldn't be experiencing that light. I dare you, raise your hands and worship him because he's brought you. Listen, you may be through ups and downs. There might have been times in your life when you didn't think you was going to make it. There might have been aggravating times. There may be times that you're so confused and turned around, you don't know what's going on. But you know what? God still loves you. His hand of mercy is still upon you. And if you're here this morning and you heard those scriptures and you're on the wrong side of those scriptures, this altar's open right now for you. Christ said, I come to divide. I come to make a distinction. You tired of living the way you're living? Christ says this, I can cut all that away and I can give you something brand new. But the ball's in your court. You've got to divide. You've got to decide. You allow me to divide you from the darkness or not? That's you right now. Listen, if you're here and you're born again, I want you to pray. I want to take just a moment here. and allow the Holy Spirit to knock on people's hearts. Ask yourself, where do you stand? Are you on the right side of this thing or the wrong side? God forbid something happens to you today and you stand before your Maker. Where do you stand? Is he going to say, enter in? Or is he going to say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, for I never knew you. Your name's been blotted out from the Lamb's Book of Life. Listen, you may have went through some tragic things. Know this, God's not the author of that. He loves you through it all. Now listen, we live in a fallen world where things happen, but God... give you wisdom to navigate, as we talked about last week. Be that wise builder for you and your family, for your household. Because listen, it's just not about you. It's about those that are around you as well. If you're here this morning and you're lost, you're out of fellowship with God, one more time, this altar's open. One more time, God's saying, I want to make it right. I want you to come to me and I can reconcile you. Listen, you take one step, that'll be the last step you'll ever have to take on your own if you'll hold to his hand. I say this all the time, and I believe it, I mean it with all my heart. There's been times in my spiritual walk where I'm not sure I cared whether I saved or not. That may be hard for some of you to hear, but that's all right. There's been times where I wasn't sure if I even cared if I saved or not, but here's what I found, that if I don't pull away from God, he never pulled away from me. Even in all my doubts and my ups and downs, the confusing times that I was going through, God's faithfulness was there. And he was just waiting on me to come to clarity and whisper his name from my lips. That's the kind of God that we serve. One more opportunity as the church prays. Father, we're so grateful, Lord, and thankful, God, that you came to divide and give us boundaries.